charge!
Everyone, and welcome to Epic Guides Podcast number 3, coming to you from EpicGuides.net. I'm your host, Joey, and thank you for joining me today. This week we're going to be going over damage dealers, main assist specifically. Got the real-life thought of the week, and of course the tip of the cast. Last week was a good week for Epic Guides Podcast. We had a lot of downloads, a lot of new subscribers, a lot of hits to the websites, 2 reviews on iTunes. Thanks to both of you for that. I believe, I don't have it up in front of me, but I believe it was Lepidus and Kill Jaden. Thanks to you guys. Anyone else that wants to do a favorable review, I would really appreciate it. And of course, I would not be above reading your names off on the show or saying your names on the show. And that's the way I'm asking for you guys to support the podcast at this time, is just by telling each other about it, talking about it with your friends, and doing whatever you can to help out the podcast. In the fake news, World of Warcraft Blizzard has announced the new Alliance race. I saw it on the website this morning. And I'm very excited about the new Alliance race. It's going to be the Wisps, and they are up on the web there. You can find the link today, at least. I don't know if it'll be up tomorrow. But they've got some character screenshots, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll read you a little clip here. The introduction of Wisps allow a new and exciting game mechanic, permanent death. Permanent death. The ability that destroyed Archimonde. Yeah, no idea how to say that word. Is available to all Wisps as a racial ability. The power Detonate destroys the Wisps in an explosion of energy, sapping the mana of all surrounding adventurers, friend and foe alike. This should provide an extremely interesting addition to many adventures of Warcraft, particularly when pitted against another player. Their racial traits are Detonate, Gatherer, Permanent Death, and Tree Form. Tree Form is my favorite. Turns the Wisp into a tree for 30 seconds. During this time, Spirit is increased by 300. However, the Wisp's chance to dodge or parry axes is reduced by 50%. That's too bad. And that's the news from Blizzard on April 1st, 2006. Before I start talking about damage dealers, I wanted to do a short recap over what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks so I can set up perfectly the position of the damage dealers so you can see how they fit in. First of all, we talked about the tanks, the meat shields, the ones who put their bodies in between the enemy and the friends behind. They're the ones who stand there in the center, sacrificing themselves many times for the greater good. The tanks will be holding the enemies. They are going to be switching between mobs and changing stances if need be and doing different moves and calculated strategies to make all of the bad guys fight them only. Meanwhile, you have the healer, who, as I said last week, is quite often the most important person in the group. You're going to have the healer healing that tank and keeping the tank alive. So you have here a small little mini group. Their whole goal is not to take down enemies or kill enemies, but merely to keep enemies occupied. And so you have this little mini system that holds the mobs there, while you have another 3 party members that are free to do whatever they need to do. You have the tank holding, the healer healing, and then another 3. So who are these other 3 mysterious members? Well, I'm going to be going over at least 1 or 2 of them right here, and they are the damage dealers. While the tank and the healer hold, the damage dealers bring the pain with a vengeance. They will be, I like to divide them into 2 classes. First of all would be the melee damage dealer and then the ranged damage dealer. My favorite class for the melee damage dealer is the rogue. They have a huge DPS, some say the highest in the game, damage per second. And they can do some serious backstabs and whatnots. And they are going to be, what kind of damage they do is going to be based a lot around what kind of talents they choose and pick. Whether they fight with swords, kind of in a semi-warrior style, or whether they do a lot of the stealth backstabbing type of moves. And then you have your mages at ranged damage. They're some of another highest DPS contending class. And the mages will be doing super nukes from afar, shooting huge mungus fireballs or froth spells or whatever they can do from the distance near the healer. And so for these 2 classes, you have your melee damage dealer is going to be right next to the tank most of the time, at least at the start of the fight. And the ranged damage dealer is going to be by the healer. And you have 2 kind of mini groups. You have the melee group and then the ranged group that kind of stick together. And the reason these stick together and the reason you like to keep them organized is basically so that it makes it easier for the healer to keep line of sight on everyone and know where they are when he needs to or she needs to heal them. So, how does a damage dealer work? The truth is, in the mechanics, I know I've gone over pretty in-depth how to heal and how to tank in the two previous shows, but damage dealers really have their own thing. As a rogue, you have to do your backstabs. It's good to have knives on you so you can do your backstabs, and most of your good damage dealing potential comes from having knives on you. As a mage, you have plenty of nukes, and it depends on your talent trees, which one are stronger, what level you're at, whether your arcane missiles or your frost damage or your fireballs are going to be doing the most damage, and you should know that by now. Depending on, you'll know by what you've put points into, you'll know where your most of your damage comes from. So really, in this show, we're not going to be talking about how to do damage with your skills and with your talents, but when do you do damage, where do you do damage, how do you manage the damage that you're doing. Those are the important things to a damage dealer, and those are the things that separate a good damage dealer from a bad damage dealer. Because unlike the healers and tanks, who have a fundamentally different strategy when in a group, the good thing about the damage dealers is they basically get more freedom to be themselves. Whereas a rogue, for instance, as an example, a rogue has to worry about stun-locking opponents when he's doing solo. Well, normally that's what I would do. You start out with maybe a cheap shot to get your two combo points in and have the... Then maybe you'll go to an eye gouging and then around to the back to backstab. Maybe you'll follow up with some kind of pummel or something to keep the enemy from hitting you, because you're not about taking damage, you're about putting it out. Now when you're in a group, you don't have to worry about any of that, because all of the damage is already being focused on your warrior, and you don't have to worry about taking damage off of yourself, so you'll feel free to do as much damage as you need to within reason. And you can go ahead and just focus, just stand behind him and backstab repeatedly if that's what you can get away with, if your tank has enough aggro to allow that. And you cannot, of course, do that when you are soloing, because a mob will not stand there and let you stab him in the back repeatedly. Mages are basically the same thing. You don't have to worry about keeping your mob controlled, with example of being like a Frost Nova when they get to you. Or for instance, if you had to, maybe Frost spells aren't the your forte, but you usually start with one to slow them down, and when they get to you, you Frost Nova and you blink away. Well, you don't have to do that when you're partying. You can just focus on doing damage, because you're not really worried about that mob coming at you. You don't have to worry about slowing it down. You can just come right out with the big guns and lay those super nukes down. With a few differences, of course, you're not going to be able to do AoEs as often in groups unless the situation calls for it. And as a rogue and a mage, you're both going to have to worry about maybe not topping off your damage, because maybe your tank doesn't have enough control over the mobs to keep them off of you. And that's a little more for the mage than it is for the rogue, because the rogue has his... threat control ability, which is faint. When I was first getting started in grouping with my rogue, and I really hadn't been in groups before and I didn't know what I was doing, I tried to be the super rogue in the group, and basically I figured I was a rogue, I'm in a group, I'm just going to do my roguey abilities and be roguish. So what I would do is I would stealth, and I wasn't being utilized to sap at this point, but I would stealth and I would start walking towards the mobs. I'd start sneaking up on them, getting sneaky. And while I was doing this, the tank, who was doing his job correctly, he would be pulling out his gun, and he'd be drawing them from afar. And I'd be in about the middle grounds between where the mobs were and where the tank was. And instead of standing behind the meat shield or by the meat shield like I was supposed to, I'd be out there in the middle ground. And when the mob ran towards the tank, I would cheap shot the mob. I would cheap shot it and freeze it right there out in the middle of nowhere. Now, this is wrong on many levels, and it's an incredibly silly thing to do. But let me tell you why I would do it. I had in my mind this thought, and I don't think it's that silly a thought, but if there's two mobs coming at the group, and there's only one tank, then why let the tank take on two mobs when I'm right there and I'm a totally viable class as a fighter? I can do it. Why not have two on two, you know, the rogue and the tank together versus these two mobs, as opposed to just standing there being useless and letting these two mobs attack the tank? It seemed ridiculous to me, and it still does if I say it like that, but the point is there's a better way to do it, and it's called focusing the whole group on one mob at a time. That's not what it's called. It's called focus fire. But it means focusing the whole group on one mob at a time, and it's much more useful than taking on two mobs and splitting the group. Because when you do two on two, then now you have a healer who's not getting his manage efficiency because he's having to heal two people, and you have mobs that are getting loose from the pack. And the problem is that normally it's not even two on two. Normally, if you're in a group that doesn't know what's going on and there's no main assist, there's no focusing a fire, you end up in a situation where it's, you know, 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 and 5-on-5. And when there's more than just one battle, and by one battle I mean a tank and whatever mob he's on, when there's more than just that battle going on, when there's also a mage has fireballed a different mob and a rogue has gone up and cheap shot at a different mob, when there's three battles going on, every time you do that, you lose mana efficiency on healing, you lose damage efficiency on the classes taking out one mob at a time. And you're going to wipe eventually. It's not going to work, for sure. And this is why. This is the truth of how it works. Every mob that's out there is going to do full damage until they're dead. So if you're fighting against five mobs, then there's going to be 500% damage going on. And if you've got five battles, then it's going to take forever to kill one mob. When it's one-on-one, it's going to take a lot longer to kill a mob than it would be if it was, you know, four-on-one or five-on-one. So it's going to take, you know, one-fifth of the time to kill it that way. So let's say you're fighting your mobs, and you're fighting all five mobs. They're doing all 500% of their damage until the whole thing is over. Whereas if you focused on one, within a fifth of the time, you would be focusing on four mobs only. And then a fifth of that, you would be focusing on three mobs only. So they would be doing progressively less damage as a full enemy of five people, or five mobs. They're going to be doing less damage, 500% when they start. And then after you take out the first mob, they're only doing 400% of their damage. You take out the next mob, they're only doing 300% of the damage. So as the fight wears down, it's becoming easier and easier, as opposed to harder and harder, which is what happens if you have lots of little battles. If you have lots of little battles, it gets harder and harder because now everybody's running out of mana. Now everybody's running out of their threat control abilities. Their cooldowns have to come up. They're still fighting five enemies, you're doing full damage. And it's a catastrophe. So what you want to do is you want to focus fire. Now the way this works is everyone sets up a macro. Last show I talked about an assist key, which was the F key. It is even better if you make a macro for yourself. If you click on the little bubble in your chat window, something will pop up that says macro, and you'll be able to create a new macro through there by clicking on new and picking an icon and writing a name, hitting OK, and then typing in a macro. And what you're going to want to click in as your macro is, first during your little strategy talk, is you decide who the main assist is going to be. If it's a rogue named, you know, Jim, if it's Jim the Rogue, then you're going to type slash assist Jim. And you're going to have this little button. You're going to take the little button from your little box up at the top. You'll see it when you're in there. There'll be a little button that will appear in a box for your macro boxes. And you're going to pull that down onto your hotkeys. Or if you're a clicker, pull it down into your panel somewhere. And now every time you click on that, you're going to go to assist Jim, which, like I talked about last week, is you're going to target whatever Jim is targeting. Now, Jim the Rogue is going to be picking the enemies that the whole group is going to fight. Because now the whole group, everyone except for maybe the tank, of course, the whole group is going to be holding on Jim until Jim starts attacking, and they're going to assist Jim. Now the whole group is focused on one mob. And that mob is not going to have long to live. He's going to be out of there. And this is focused fire. You're quickly taking out enemies one by one. And every time you take down an enemy, that's less damage being done to the group. So it's the best way to go. On top of the less damage being done to the group as a whole, and then that's good enough by itself, this is insanely great to aggro control. If you go back to where I was talking about there's five battles going on earlier, and how you're not getting your mana efficiency if you're having five battles, and it's going to be harder and harder as you go. It is near to impossible for a tank to hold on to five targets, because if, let's say that I'm the tank and I pull aggro on five mobs, what I would do as a tank is first I run out there, say if you're a Nomuron, where you have situations where there's maybe one or two elites, and then maybe five or six little trash mobs, little normal people. I run out there to the elites, and I hit one of my AoEs, like the shock, or I do one of my shouts, a demoralizing shout, and I run out there and I do it. Now all the mobs are on me. I have threat on all the mobs. They're all fighting me. But let's say a mage shoots a fireball at one, and now a rogue cheap shots another one, and a warlock dots another one. Now those three mobs that have just been attacked, they're going to go away from me because I don't have enough threat, and they're going to be going to the other people. And now I have three different battles that I'm gonna have to go after. Not only do I have the tank, the mob that I've already started tanking, which would be the fourth, now I have to go to the mage and I have to taunt him off or sunder armor that guy. And then I have to run over the rogue and try to taunt him off or sunder armor that guy to collect, then to the warlock to try to collect all the aggro back again. Whereas if these people don't do that, then I have all the mobs on me and I don't have to worry about fighting, going to all your different battles and trying to out damage all of these different people in the group. And that is a huge waste of the tank's time to try to fight over aggro with everybody in the group. But unfortunately, in a group that doesn't know what they're doing or doesn't work together, that is what often happens. And it is the worst with the main assist. I talked about how a healer's main bane is a craptacular tank. A healer hates it when a tank doesn't know what he's doing. Well, a tank has the same bane, and that's the main assist, or the rogue. If a tank doesn't have a good main assist, then that is the tank's bane. It'll ruin a tank's life if he does not have a good main assist, because he will not be able to keep aggro. The whole group will be asking him why he's not doing his job. You know, well, how come you're not keeping all the aggros? How come they keep coming at me every time I fireball? Well, because you're fireballing the wrong one. You're doing stupid stuff. Okay, now we're going to talk about what should happen. Not the craziness happens, but what should happen. Like I said, the tank still goes up, and he does his maybe demoralizing shout on this party, or this group of mobs. And now he's got them all. What happens is the main assist chooses one mob. Nobody else is fighting anything yet. You just have the tank and all of the enemy. Maybe six or seven guys. Maybe only two real mobs. I'll call them two real mobs, which are elites. And then some trash mobs. And so the tank is on him. All he's done is a demoralizing shot, so he doesn't have that much threat. But he's got enough to overhold maybe a heal or two while he can go around and Sunder Armor those guys. But your rest of your group isn't doing anything yet. They're letting the tank build aggro just for just a few seconds. Get a few Sunder Armors on the big guys. Or just do some damage in general. And now the main assist, which is going to be, let's say, a rogue, is going to target a different mob, a secondary mob, which he thinks needs to go out. You want to take out mobs in the order that you would protect them. So, like, in the group, the most important person in your group is your healer. So if there's a healer in that group of the mobs of your enemy, then that's the person you're going to want to take out first. And then after that would probably be the big nukers, their mages, their soft classes, which would be easy to take out, because you'd be taking out a large portion of their damage-dealing capabilities, and you'd be taking them out easily because they have less armor. And then after that, you'd probably take out whoever's left over, the standard mobs, maybe like the warriors or maybe even the non-elites that really aren't doing that much damage to you in the first place, but are going to take a lot longer to take out. So that's pretty much, you go healers, then your nukers, then your high DPSs and standard mobs, and then trash mobs. But your main assist has got this in his mind. The tank has already got all the mobs on him. Now the main assist is either going to go pick maybe the same mob that the tank is really focusing on, and because he knows that that mob will not turn away from the tank as easily, or he's going to pick the mob that he knows needs to go down the most. Hopefully the same mob. Hopefully the tank knows to focus on whatever mob that the main assist is going to go after. Now the main assist goes up to this mob, and he gets a few swipes in. He hits him a few times. He does his stab or whatever it is that he's going to do, his sinister strike. And then everyone else in the group is going to, of course, they've got him in the sights already. They've got Jim in the sights, and they hit their little macro that says, assist Jim. Now everybody's targeted on the same mob. The mage lets loose a fireball. The warlock throws his dots on. Maybe a pet runs out there. Maybe someone, you know, whatever the group has, they put it on this one mob. And it's dead like that. It's gone. Now the rogue goes to the next one. Meanwhile, the tank hasn't got to fight everybody for aggro. All the other mobs are still focused on the tank because no one else has attacked them. No one else is putting any threat on them, except for maybe the healer. And like we talked about last week, the healer has his fade capabilities. But no one else is bothering these mobs, so the tank isn't having to fight everyone for aggro. The healer isn't having to heal everyone else, except for maybe the main assist is taking a little bit of damage. Maybe once in a while the main assist takes the threat off of the tank. And that's really okay. It makes it easier for the tank to get it back off of them. The tank can just switch over to that one mob and fight that one fight and easily get the aggro back. Or if the main assist takes a little damage, then now there's only two people that the healer really has to heal, and that's not too hard to keep track of. It's not too bad for the healer. So that's okay. And the main assist is switching off between tanks. And focus fire is taking out all of these one by one. Aggro control is being done. And that's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I know this seems simple now that I'm saying it, but so often you'll find people that just refuse to do it. I was in a group just this week, and I was in a Scarlet Monastery. And I had a druid as my main assist. I was tanking, and my main assist of druid was in. He was swapping around between cat and bear and human and or night elf form. And he was doing whatever he could do. And we kept saying, you know, follow the plan. Hey, man, how about you just choose one mob and everybody focuses fire on that one mob? And he wouldn't do it. He wanted to do whatever his own thing was. He didn't want to work with the group. And sometimes you get people like that, and it's a pain in the butt. But as long as you have a group of people that are willing to do strategy, then you're going to be able to get through things like butter. Because the DPS is going to be going to one mob, the mob's going to be dropping, you're not going to be having to fight aggro control, and now that we've kind of put all the three parts in, it's all circular, it goes around and up and down, circular, feel the flow, happy, Gilmore. Anyways, so you have the tank who's holding the aggro, and he's holding the aggro well because he doesn't have anyone that's trying to take it from him, and the main assist isn't trying to take it from him, he's doing the damage. And he's killing them, so the healer doesn't have to worry about healing as much of the other people, and he doesn't have to worry about healing as long, because the damage from the enemy is decreasing quickly, because they're losing their party members. Oh, one last thing I do need to cover is the fact that you can't over-damage. And I know I've been saying do as much damage as you can, but you do have to watch it. And this is all based on your tank. If your tank is, you know, protection spec, then he's got all the stuff that makes him do more aggro, or if he's in defensive stance, it's gonna allow the damage dealer to do more damage. Which is, of course, in the tank session I went over why you should be in defensive stance. Now your damage classes are going to be able to do more damage without worrying about pulling mobs. And so you, as a mage, really, mages can do huge mob stealing capabilities. If they just lay down the fireballs or the arcane missiles, then there's a good chance they're going to steal a mob or two. Hopefully the mob dies so fast that it really doesn't matter. But also, don't worry, mages, if you have to pull out a wand, that's not so bad either, because it'll lower your threat. You know, you won't be doing quite as much damage. But you'll be saving mana, of course, and and keeping the group steady on one mob without pulling them away from the tank and the main assist. Rogues, like I said earlier, they have the abilities to drop their own threat quite a bit. Normally that'll get the mob off of them back on the tank. And that would be that. Let me think. Okay, the AoEs. That was another thing I wanted to cover with the mages. There's and the warlocks. There's a big hubbub about when you do them, when you don't do them. There are classic places when you must do AoEs. They're just the genius thing to do. A good example would be like I was talking about earlier in Nomoron. When you've got the mobs there, the trash mobs running around. You've got like 6 to 10 little you know, knifey guys biting at your heels. And the warrior just can't hold on to all of them. It's okay for the mage or the warlock to run out there and just freaking spam Arcane Explosion or whatever it is that they've got. Just spam it and blow the pukajizis out of all those little guys and kill them. And that's really what you have to do. If you're going to use them, then you have to make sure you kill whatever you're targeting. Because if you don't kill it, it's just going to come after you. So that is the gizzy, the goal there. And you must do that quickly without hesitation. Same with the warlock and their big AoEs. The other AoE that a mage has that is good to use in groups is the Frost Nova, like I said earlier, because Frost Nova freezes the mobs, but it not only that, but it helps with aggro control. Because say the mobs are all up there by the warrior, or they're not by the warrior, they're in a group next to the healer. The mage can run over there and Frost Nova freeze those mobs in place, root them, and the healer can back away, and then the warrior can go over there and take a few hits on those guys. He doesn't have to taunt them because they're already there, they're not running away. He's got easy shots on those guys. And then, normally, once they're unfrozen, they're going to go after who's closest to them anyways. And if the warrior's standing right there, then that gives the mage, it would be give the mage a free getaway or the priest a good free getaway. And normally that's okay to do Frost Nova in those places. Especially if you got to make sure in all those situations that you are not drawing other adds or hitting adds that aren't part of your enemy already. And I think that about sums up damage dealers. You know what you're going to need to do now when you're in a group. And if you are the rogue or the mage, and if you are a tank, you'll know what your problem is. If you've been trying to follow the strategy guide that I put out in the first show, you'll know exactly why you weren't being able to follow it and why it was so hard. It's because your main assist. He wasn't assisting. He was being a neenerhead, and he was neenering you. Yes, I said a neenerhead. That's right. So, like the last weeks, if you've never played a rogue or a mage, then why don't you try it? Why don't you roll one and see how you fit into those parties? It's pretty easy to level up to 20 pretty quickly, and then by that time you can get into the VC, into the Dead Mines, and if you're in the Horde, of course, you can level up to 13 and get into that bad boy in Orgrimmar, whatever it's called, I forget, and have fun doing it. Check out the other people around you, and if you see a man assist in a group that doesn't seem to be doing his job, and your group is wiping, then you'll know why, let him know. And my goodness, has this been a freaking long segment, and I apologize for that. I hope you waded through it and got something good out of it. This week I was talking to a friend of mine who always plays girl characters in the role-playing games that he plays, and I was asking him why he does it and what his, you know, what his reasoning behind that kind of thing is. And I like to talk to people about why do they play the games that they play the way that they play them. And he was telling me it's just something he's always done, and he went into some specifics that I won't go into because that's not the way I play. I want to talk about what I do and my real-life thoughts. Normally when I'm picking out a character, I'll try to pick someone who represents me in some way, either my physical appearance or the way I feel about myself as in that character's role, or how I think that I would be. For instance, almost all of my characters are human males, because I myself am a human and a male. Most of my characters have the one military-style haircut that you can give a human, because I am in the military, and I have a military-style haircut. Also, if I played dwarfs before I got into the military, I used to have long red hair and goatees and whatnot, so I'll play dwarfs that give them that kind of appearance. And I'm really doing this to put myself into the game. Some people will play, the different way to go about it is, they will make fantasy characters that look totally different than themselves, and they'll play them totally different than themselves, and they're not trying to put themselves in the game, they're trying to create a fantasy character that will live in the fantasy world. I look at it a different way. I am using my character as an avatar, in the truest sense. Avatar comes to us from Hinduism. It's a Sanskrit word, and it means descent, and it was used to describe... I'm no expert in Hinduism, but it was used to describe gods that would use these avatars to come into the mortal realms. Because gods, according to most religions, gods are above and beyond the comprehension of mortal minds and outside of the existence of mortal realms. And so they would use these avatars to put themselves into the mortal realms and to exist and to do whatever work they had to get done. And we're doing the same things. I do the same thing as I am, as a being, I am beyond what the game can handle, of course. And as a person, I am beyond what can be put into the game. So I cannot jump into Westfall myself. I cannot you know, Pee Wee Herman myself through the screen of my computer into the world. So I will use an avatar to descend somewhat into the game's fantasy realms. And I'll use my avatar to adventure and to carry out my will and to do my whatever the work is that I would like to do in that fantasy world. I'm putting my personality into the avatar. I'm putting my character into the avatar. I'm putting the things that I like and I don't like into the avatar. The way that I would react to situations is all put into this avatar, this little representation of myself. And that way, I find myself having adventures, and it makes the game a little more real to me, and becomes a greater form of escape, which is really what it's all about. So that is my real-life thought of the week. If you would like to let me know, and I'd love to hear from you about how you play your avatars or your characters in the game, then you can let me know on the forums at epicguides.net, or you can email me at joey@epicguides.net. joey@epicguides.net, who would have thought it? But yeah, drop me a line. Let me know what you think of this real-life thought or any of the last real-life thoughts or anything in general. This week's tip of the cast is a lot like last week's tip in that it is useful for when forming groups or looking for groups or finding out about people that are in your area or other areas around you. And this week's tip is going to be over /who. I'm going to be going over the basic functions and then some more of its advanced functions, I guess. You could consider them advanced. And then a little information on how I use it and when I use it. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Westfall, and there was someone that was trying to get into VC, do some Deadmines runs, and they were spamming looking for priest over and over again in the Channel 4, the Looking for Group channel. Over and over again, they were coming out with, you know, we need a priest, and different variations. It seemed like about every 5 seconds it would go up through through my chat box looking for priest call. So I finally went on to /who. I did my, you know, /who magic and found out that there was only one priest in Westfall, and he was level 60, and he obviously wasn't answering these guys. So I went back over the Channel 4 chat, and I said to this guy that was spamming it, you know, there's only one priest out here, and this is his name, he's level 60, I don't think he'll help you, but you should send him a whisper and invite him, and maybe he's up for helping you if you talk to him. And other people came on, they're like, how do you know that that's the only priest, and blah, 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 this and that. And I'm going to tell you how I did that magic, in case you don't know. This is a standard thing that a lot of people know, but some people don't, and it's something that you need to know. And that is /who, so if you just, through this section, you're going to be able to hear me doing my key clicky clicks, because I'm going to be doing it with you. If you can type in it, you get your chat box up, you type /who, and then you hit enter, and it's going to bring up a box called the who list. And it's going to be, its default is to zones. It'll bring up characters in your zone. And the way it works is it'll tell you, just on default, it'll bring up your zone and then levels 3 below you and 3 above you. So, for instance, the character that I'm in right now is 22 level character. So it shows me all of the people in my zone that are from 19 to 25. And the zone I'm in is Stormwind City. So I've got, looks here, about 20 characters that are at my level in here. And if I wanted to form a group, then all these names on here, I could just right-click, and it has whisper, invite, and cancel. You always whisper first. Don't ever just invite somebody without talking to them. So you would click on whisper, and then you could send a little message. I'm trying to get a group together for blah, 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 this and that. Would you like to go? And they'll tell you yes or no, or I'm busy, or I'm getting ready to get off, or whatever they tell you. And then you can, if they say yes, I want to go, then you can right-click on it again and click invite. And that's the way you do that. That's your standard who panel, who list. That's how you use it. So you could do /who and find out all of the, if there's a priest that's around your level, if you're looking for a priest, or if there's a whatever you're looking for. Now, a little more advanced use is, if you see down at the bottom, it'll say Z, and then Stormwind City in quotes, and then the numbers that you're looking for. Now, say I don't want to find 19 through 25. Say I'm looking for a level 60 to run me through something. You can just put 60 in there, and it'll bring up all the 60s in your zone. Now, there's more 60s than there were characters around my level. If you type in, maybe you're looking for someone that's exactly your level, 22, you could type in you get the point. You know, do what you gotta do to mess around with that. Right now there's two other people, no, there's only one other person besides myself that's 22 in Stormwind. And that's the way that works. Now, if I want to look for something else, I could, you know, backspace over Stormwind and fill the quotes in with something else. Westfall. And hit enter, and now I find out that there's two 22s in Westfall, Silver Star and Melchizedek, a hunter and a paladin. If I want, just do. If you take off the numbers altogether, then it'll give you everyone that's in the zone. If it's just Z Westfall, it'll give you all those people. Now, while you're looking at that, I'm basically looking at all the characters that are in Westfall right now, because I've got Z and then Westfall in quotes. If I go, it says zone up at the top. It's a, if you tooltip over to the zone key, you'll see it up at the top underneath who list. You hit the down arrow, it'll give you, you can search by guild, or if you wanted to race, I don't know what good that would do you, but you can do it. If you want to see if there's any persons that are in a certain guild that you're looking for, then you will get that info for you. Another thing you can do is just, the way that I use it a lot is if I'm in a zone, I will backspace over everything to where the whole thing is clear, there's nothing, no Westfall, no numbers or anything, and you can type in priest, and it'll give you all of the priests that are on. And then you can go back and hit zone up at the top, and it'll organize them all by zones. Or if you press level up at the top, then it'll organize them all by levels. And you can find all the priests, say, if you were trying to come up with a run for SM, and you can find all the priests. All the priests in World of Warcraft are going to pop up, so you can go through there and find the ones at your level, and you whisper them. It'll tell you where they are, and you can try to decide where, which one's closest to you, and you can see if they're in an instance already or not. And you can also do that if the window's not up. You can type slash who, and then space, and then, hold on, I didn't get my slash in there, slash you, and then space, and then warrior, and then it'll bring up all the warriors automatically, and it'll just have that in instead of start coming up with the default. So that is slash you, and you, like magic, you can use it to find characters. It's the best way to, I think it's the best way to do looking for group. You can use it to find the class that you need, or find out that the class you need is available. I play in the off hours because I'm overseas, and sometimes there won't even be anybody up that's my level, because I will be all alone in the World of Warcraft. So, there you go. Use it wisely. Some people get bothered if you send them an invite, sling slash you, and they don't know who you are. You just send them invites using this, you know, this system. And so try to be as nice as you can and say, you know, sorry for bothering you. Would you like to group, do a fun run through this, or quest for that if you have the quest? And normally, I haven't ran into anybody that was rude about it, but I hear tell that people don't like it. So that is the tip for this week. That wraps up show number 3. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you know more about the main assist and how the group works together as a whole cohesive unit. I hope you got something out of slash you and the greatness that it is the best looking for group system World of Warcraft has right now. But if you remember what I said last week, they are working on a new one. I got some semi-bad news about the podcast. I'm loving doing the podcast. I actually this week went out and bought some more space. I upgraded from the free plan, the free bandwidth, to the pay package so I could get some more shows up and so that y'all could get some more downloads, because it was getting ready to hit its cap for my free service that I was using. I also bought a new microphone. I don't know if any of you can tell, but I've got a new snazzy microphone that I'm using to record with. But all that, and I'm going to hit a problem here, because a little personal time for Joey. Personal time for Joey, everybody, so if you want to stop it now, you can. But I am in the military at this point. For those of you that know a little bit about me, I'm in the military, military police in Italy. And I am getting out this month. I am going back to the States, going to become a civilian again, and I'm very, very excited about that. I've served my country as best I know how, and I'm moving on. And but a part of that is I have to, you know, come back to America, and so they're shutting down my phone line this week, which is my internet, and I'm going to be without internet for about a month at least until I get back to the States, so it's going to be very hard for me to upload shows or keep track of my podcast or anything like that. With Italy, you never know. They might be set to turn it off this week and then not do it until a month after I leave. You can't tell. Sometimes they do things like that, and I hope that's the case, but if it's not, I'm going to not be able to upload a podcast for the next few weeks. And that saddens me greatly, I gotta tell you, because I wanted to try to do a good job of being continuous with this and keeping track of it, and I didn't want any big gaps. But this cannot be helped, as far as I know. I really ask all of you to try to stay subscribed. Keep, if you haven't downloaded all the shows, download all the shows. I'm going to be working on content through this time, so hopefully when I come back, I'll have better shows than I do now, better editing. And I'll still be able to record them while I'm gone, although I won't be able to play World of Warcraft or upload anything. If you want to send me an email, I'll be able to get all those emails. If you want requests for the show or anything you'd like to add onto the show, anything you want to be read, you can of course do that, and email me at joey@epicguides.net, or you can go by the forums on epicguides.net. I have 2 reviews now and other news on iTunes. I made a request for reviews last week. I have 2 favorable reviews up on iTunes for the 2 shows that I've done so far. Now that I've got a 3rd show out, I'd love at least a 3rd review. If any of you are willing to get onto iTunes and do a favorable review, I would love that. And I hope I see you guys again real soon. But if I don't, it's been fun so far, and stay subscribed and look forward to more in the future. Oh, one last thing. I wanted to pimp myself. I don't want to forget that. Like I said, I'm coming back to the States. I am looking for jobs. I'd like to work with internet media and keep doing things like I'm doing here. I've got the epicguides.net website up if you want to look and see what kind of things I can do. As far as Flash goes, I am looking for a job doing freelance Flash for companies if you need any work done. Then drop me an email at epicguides.net, and I'm going to be setting up a website for myself and my Flash freelance in the near future, so that should be up when I get back to the States as well. Again, thanks everybody for listening, and I will see you soon, I hope. Bye.